All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
To be having structural issues here in Studio A tonight.
Structural?
my table is falling. All right, I think we're good.
All right. Because we're getting ready to get out of Studio A.
we're just using what's left lying around. This is kind of reminiscent of the early days.
It is, rather.
Remember? A snack table.
Here.
My mic stand was a piece of plywood with a little mic mounted to it.
On it.
Terrible.
Those were the olden days.
That was nearly 5 years ago.
Nearly 5 years of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right.
We have something big planned for the anniversary.
You do?
Yeah.
I was unaware.
it will be a some sort of... I think we're working on the prize package.
Oh, okay.
For... I think it's going to be an audio scavenger hunt / trivia contest.
All right.
About this show.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that'll force people to go back and listen to old episodes or something.
That'll force people to not enter.
That's fine. Well, if we're giving away $10,000, I think people will look.
Well, if we have $10,000, we're not giving it away.
100 grand.
I'm just saying.
100 grand. Yeah. That old gag.
That's got the caramel in it, right?
Yeah, that one.
All right.
Whatever it is that we're giving away. I'm sure it'll be fairly significant enough, one would hope. We can scrape some nickels together.
Sure.
Give away dimes. Something.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe we'll make a huge prize package and have people enter based on that.
We can do that, I'm sure.
Sure. But until then, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 222. And we're calling this one...
Turn on the Dark.
Turn on the Dark, yeah. And that's, of course, a reference to Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, the musical that just keeps on not opening. And now it would seem is not only getting shut down, but giving Julie Taymor, the director, the boot.
Yeah, she no longer around for that.
But before we get too far into that, of course, you can check out everything we're doing over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and you want to check that out. Lots of things to see and do over there. Our forums are over there. Our a picture gallery is over there for each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, we should say, because we want to iron crowbar separation between Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, and Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the SiriusXM Experience.
That's right.
Alternating Saturdays on SiriusXM 197, Sirius 197, XM 202, The Virus.
That is correct.
Yes. And yeah, so you can check out both of those. You cannot check out the SiriusXM episodes.
No.
Over at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, but my understanding is there is a ubiquitous clandestine way for you to catch those shows in case you've missed them. But we would have nothing to do with that, of course, because that would be highly illegal.
Right. That would be against our moral fabric.
That's right. And we will have nothing to do with any sort of illegal downloading of content that does not belong to us. So good luck finding those.
Right.
I'm sure they're out there somewhere on one of those...
Somewhere.
One of those terrible torrent sites or something. I'm sure someone's doing that.
Likely.
Like, what are some of those terrible torrent sites?
Ours, from what I understand, ours exists in one of two places. You know, I'm going to say this. If you go over to the message boards, there's probably people over there that talk about it.
Oh, yeah?
And you might be able to find it there.
There you go. Well,
that's all.
We don't condone that. However, you know, if you're lucky enough to do that, then by all means, go do that.
Right.
And what else, OG? Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter.
Right. BK Geek Stuff in both places.
Isn't it Geek Stuff OG?
That would be for me.
Oh,
Twitter,
I see.
Yes. But the show would be BK Geek Stuff.
And if you are Twittering or emailing OG at Geek Stuff OG, do not forget to open those comments with, hey, Kev.
Right. Because immediate deletion is what will happen to you. Immediate deletion from existence.
Don't let him fool you, because he gets a chuckle out of the big Kev, hey, Kev, or hey, big Kev openings.
No. Immediate deletion.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Well, since we started off this way.
Yeah. Spider-Man, turn off the dark. Going dark.
Yeah. Let me just read you this quote from one George Takei.
Uh-oh.
Today on the Twitter. Spider-Man on Broadway shutting down, hiring a new director. Sometimes we killed the engines and jettisoned the core to survive too.
I'm telling you, George Takei is having this whole resurgence. He is almost Shatner in popularity.
On Twitter, the Charlie is a douchebag hashtag.
Oh yeah.
Oh fantastic.
You are a douchebag.
Exactly. See? It's I think it is George Takei's use of the term douchebag.
That's right. A douchebag.
Garnering so much attention, and his tweets are very funny. I checked out a couple of them. So
absolutely,
you are always going to be a total douchebag.
So yes, Julie Taymor out.
Right.
Turn Off the Dark not starting.
Right.
Not
officially opening.
Not officially opening
right.
yet.
Right.
However, the Spider-Man project, the Spidey project,
right,
moving forward with two shows as planned.
Yeah, now exactly what is the Spidey Project, OG?
This is a young man, Justin Moran,
mm-hmm.
who launched this guerrilla theater project to, initially my understanding was, to open before Turn Off the Dark.
He could have developed a new Spider-Man movie before Turn Off the Dark opened.
And then it became, he was going to open the same day.
Uh-huh.
As the official opening of Turn Off the Dark.
Which was supposed to be Monday, wasn't
it? This coming Monday.
Uh-huh.
And now it looks like he is going to fulfill his original dream and open first. Now, this is a, he's not charging for these tickets, but they're very difficult to come by. He had to add a second show. It's getting like a lot of celebrity attention. I think Kevin Smith was talking about it online.
Oh, yeah?
It made like national news. It's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
If you go to, let me give you the website, so if you want to check it out. The Spidey Project.blogspot.com.
Okay.
You want to head over there and check it out. It's great. I think this is absolutely fantastic.
And it's sort of a parody of Turn Off the Dark?
I believe it's just kind of a parody in general.
I see.
Of Spider-Man and probably Turn Off the Dark.
Right.
So yeah. I mean, you know. I don't know if there's anything else to say. I mean, go check out the project. Maybe if it does well, they'll add more shows and you can try to go.
Although, I'm going to try to get over there.
All right.
See what I can see if I can worm my way in and check that out.
Well, let's move away from Spider-Man.
Okay.
Because why not?
Why not?
How about Tron Uprising?
Yeah, how about that trailer?
Awesome. I thought it looked fantastic.
Can we link that over at the website?
Yeah, I think we could probably
do that. For people to check out?
Yeah, I think we could probably do that.
So it's a brand new Tron animated series, and my understanding is that it predates Legacy.
That's correct.
And so this would be a prequel in nature. Think the Clone Wars cartoon as a prequel to Revenge of the Sith.
That's right.
So that's kind of what we're talking about here.
This is going to air on Disney XD.
Do we have Disney XD?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I think I have it, which means you should have it.
Theoretically.
My understanding is that this fall, there's going to be a 10-part micro series.
Okay.
And then the show is going to launch in summer of 2012. Now, I don't know if that's going to include re-airing of the first 10 episodes then move forward, because there is going to be such a pretty significant gap.
Right.
Or if it's going to just pick up where the micro series ends. That part, that information seems a little fuzzy. At the time, at right
one
now.
One also assumes, or not assumes, one also wonders, I guess, I wonder if Spin Master is going to be doing an associated toy line with this series.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
We're going to have to attempt to contact our friends over at Spin Master and find that out. Now, that said, we keep thinking that we have seen the last of Tron product. Yet this week at Toys R Us, or rather last week at Toys R Us, another product from Tron Legacy.
Which was?
The three-person light jet.
Oh, nice.
This is
good.
The three-person light jet, not the one-person light jet that we talked about several weeks ago.
Right.
The three-person light jet. A product no one thought was going to come out because, you know, the initial word was everything past the second series of figures have been canceled,
right,
including the caster figure who appeared on the card for series two, but then never has come out. No one's ever seen it.
Right, right.
Well, now the release of the three-man light jet fuels speculation that we could see more of that Tron stuff coming out.
Which would be fantastic.
Which would be fantastic. I mean, the light jet, three-person light jet is terrific. Really, really a nice piece. So, you know, we can hope, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
The discs, the identity discs, the kind of 1-1 scale light up identity discs that were the series two on those was Rinsler and Kevin Flynn.
Right.
The Kevin Flynn disc, when it first hit the market, was selling for $65 to $100
on
eBay.
Yep.
And the Rinsler is going for between around $50.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they are
everywhere.
So, you know, again, this is another case of, you know, we may not have heard the death knell of the Spin Master
Look,
Tron toys.
I'd take another disc or two. Put out some more. Why not?
Clue might be a good idea. You know, they haven't put out a Clue disc yet. So
I guess you could put out a Korra disc if you wanted to.
Right.
I mean, you could put out a generic disc.
Right. Well, you know, the other and the one other final piece, which apparently now is quite rare, is the 12-inch Clue.
Okay.
Which did come out. It was in, it may have been Walmart only, not that it was exclusive to there, but I haven't heard any reports of anybody finding any elsewhere.
Okay.
But it did come out. So, again, that was a product that we understood to be in that what we thought was the canceled wave, and yet it came out as well, the three-person light jet and so forth. So I don't know. We may not have seen the last. And, of course, now talking about the cartoon series, we may have more coming even from that.
I'd be okay with all of those things.
Me too.
Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace in 3D.
Uh-huh. Do we have a release date?
February 10th, 2012. Less than a year away.
Wow. We going? Yes, we're going. Don't even huff.
You know,
of course we're going.
I
We're probably hosting.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
Yeah,
I don't want to go. But admittedly, even though it is conversion, I do kind of want to see the final lightsaber duel in 3D.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, the pod race would be cool.
Right.
But the final duel, you know, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, and Maul.
Right.
I think that would be pretty cool. I'm not going
to
lie.
You can almost pick one thing from each movie to make it worthwhile seeing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can do that, then, you know, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
We're going to see them. And then, of course, there's...
Of course, you know...
Now, is it one a year between now and 20... Wait, 6 to 18?
I believe that's the intent. Okay. One a year. Of course, the problem with that day, or potentially that day, that's Toy Fair weekend.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. That's Toy Fair weekend.
That could be a long weekend for us.
Long weekend.
Yeah. Ooh. Speaking of which, OG, in conjunction... with the release of Episode 1 in 3D, Hasbro has gone ahead and redesigned the artwork for its Star Wars toys to coincide. Now, you know, currently we're using that Clone Wars Captain Rex blue sort of imagery on all the packaging.
Right.
That's going to change again, and it's going to feature Darth Maul. On the packaging, and then whoever the character is, but you know, kind of at the top of the packaging will be a Darth Maul image. It's a nice image and all that. I just don't feel that a card change is warranted so quickly, but apparently that's what we have to deal with.
How about Lord of the Rings on Blu-ray extended editions?
When?
I don't think there's a date yet, but Amazon has images of the packaging and is taking pre-orders. So,
but they didn't put a release date?
I don't think, no. Do you remember how they did Star Wars Blu-ray? Remember, it was up for like a month maybe before we got the date, and
correct,
then we got the date. They're doing the same thing with
Lord
Rings.
Of the Rings.
So not a lot of details out there as to what exactly it's going to contain.
Right.
I don't think I've even read a confirmed number of discs.
Okay.
Although there's, you know, some speculation, it's probably going to be somewhere in the ballpark of like 6, I hear.
2, 4, 6. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know,
if they manage to squeeze everything in there.
Well, I'm thinking one per movie and then 3 bonus discs.
Yeah, possibly.
One per movie on the extendeds and then 3 bonus discs is what I'm thinking.
Well, there were all those releases of special sort of tie-in things. Like there was a couple of National Geographic specials.
Right.
There was the Gollum special.
Oh, there was a ton.
I mean, there was a bunch of things.
There was a ton. And each disc came with its own special,
right,
you know, just regular. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty to do to populate,
right,
a special set. So we'll see what that exactly contains.
DC Comics has announced its 2011 crossover event, and it's called Flashpoint. Now, try to get this. Barry Allen wakes up one day, Barry Allen the Flash, wakes up one day and the entire world has changed. Some villain has messed with the timeline, and Earth's greatest heroes are not Earth's greatest heroes anymore. And it's up to, ready?
Go.
Cyborg.
What?
The Outsider, Forces of the Outsider, The Secret Seven, S-H-A-Z-A-M. Now, I spelled it out because that's the way it's put here. S exclamation point, H exclamation point, A exclamation point, Z exclamation point, A exclamation point, M exclamation point. Citizen Cold and other new and familiar yet altered faces to save the world. The Flash has to figure out who did this and fix it, I guess, would be the whole crossover deal. Now, hold your breath.
Holding.
I do not, you know, I'm not a big fan of these crossovers.
But?
15 tie-in limited series will offer a look at this reshaped reality. 15.
I can't get behind those.
Let me give you some of the titles. Are you sitting down?
Sure.
Dead Man and the Flying Graysons.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm in on that one. Because I like Dead Man and the Flying Graysons is funny. Abin Sur, the Green Lantern.
Okay.
So we can draw conclusions from that. Emperor Aquaman.
Okay.
Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown.
Okay.
Okay. Lois Lane and the Resistance.
Okay.
And Citizen Cold, who may look very familiar to Flash fans. I think it's Captain Cold.
Yes.
So that's just a few of the titles that are going to be tied in with this. Of course, the architect of this series will be Jeff Johns.
Okay.
And Andy Kubert will be doing the job on the Flashpoint book itself.
I just don't know that I can get behind that.
Yeah, I'm a little.
That's a big investment both in time and money.
You know, if they had just done this in the Flash book, you know right. what I mean? Like, this was a storyline in Flash, it'd be probably really cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, something happens and he has to fix it. But to do this and span the universe. Now, I don't see anything in here that indicates that the other titles are going to stop or the other titles are going to tie in with this necessarily. So in other words, we're not going to, from what I'm gathering here, we're not going to see, like, you know, Batman number whatever it is,
right.
500 and 600 and billion, whatever it is, or 800, whatever they're up to. Like, that won't suddenly be in this alternate universe.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it sounds like a Marvel thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little confused by it.
Sounds confusing to me.
Well, what I think is they're doing a bunch, like, these little mini-series rather than cutting into regular books, although who can be sure? I'm not really sure if that's the case or not. I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. But at least there's, you know, it reminds me a little of, like, the Amalgam Universe or the, what was the X-Men one? That gave us Holocaust or Dark Nemesis now, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Where there was a bunch of little offshoot books for a while. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't dig this whole way of getting the money kind of thing. I dig the whole alternate universe idea, but you know, the layout collectors is ridiculous.
What's the big Marvel crossover? Isn't there a big Marvel crossover?
There's
coming
one
too?
Like every 3 months. Okay. So, I mean, who can tell? I have no idea. I don't read any Marvel books anymore. I read Cap, Moon Knight, I think, Uncanny X-Men, X-Men Legacy. I don't know. New Mutants, maybe like two other books that I can't even. Daredevil. Or as it's known now, Black Panther.
Right.
The Man Without Fear. I read, that's might be the breadth, and the Oz books. That's the breadth of the Marvel books that I read.
How about, since we're talking about comic books and comic book related news, how about The Infinite? You hear about this?
No.
This is the new action-packed sci-fi book by Robert Kirkman.
Ooh.
And Rob Liefeld.
Ooh.
In the future, the world has fallen to a villain who has discovered time travel. A soldier named Bowen goes back to visit his 19-year-old self, Bo, at a turning point in his life, and to persuade him and others to help defeat the Infinite and prevent impending doom.
Did Rob Liefeld, like, change his art style? I'm guessing no.
You know, I saw what I'm guessing is a preview image, and I'm okay with it. It's not heinous. But if the writing is really good, I could wrap myself. I just got to bring myself back to, like,
1990?
To X-Force. I just got to bring myself back to Cable and Deadpool. I just got to young blood. I got to just bring myself back to a different time.
No, you're not there anymore. That Rob Liefeld style is Not only is it passe.
His if this image is actually his work, this image that I saw is his work,
uh-huh.
It actually kind of looks like he's changed his style a bit. I can get behind Kirkman.
You want to get behind Kirkman, but not at the sacrifice of Rob Liefeld's art. I mean, talk about two ends of the spectrum. Was no one else available?
I'm saying I'm going to get this book.
There is literally 100 guys. No, there's at least 200 guys that I would find out their working schedule before I asked Rob Liefeld to do anything.
Well, look, I trust Robert Kirkman. I've read books before with art that I've not liked or not been pleased with. If the writing is really good, I'm going to give it a shot.
Well, you're going to have to let us know how it is because I will not be giving it a
shot. I will report back.
I really want to read Robert Kirkman's other book, Invincible.
I read Invincible.
Do you?
In trade format.
Yes,
I'm on like the fifth trade, I think.
Yeah, that's supposedly a really good
book.
That
is a really good book.
And I've never... They also have big like those... What is DC called? The Absolutes?
Yeah, is there an Absolute Invincible?
It's not Absolute because that's like a DC product, but
yeah.
There are like...
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oversized it's like omnibuses.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm gonna get those. I hear those are pretty difficult to come by.
I'll be honest with you. I pick up the trades for peanuts pennies
at cons.
At cons and on Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon used, you can get stuff used like new. Sometimes like $2 and $3 a trade.
Wow.
You know, you order enough of them, whatever. You order like 10 at a clip or whatever. You pay.
$20. I have a really great idea of how I can get them.
How?
Borrow them from you.
That's right. I can lend you the first couple for sure.
There we go. That's how I'll do it.
Blade Runner sequel / prequel / other movies.
Uh-huh. Bad idea.
Of course it's a bad idea.
Bad idea.
Of course it's a bad idea.
Now, that said, you know, coming up in comics today, we're going to be talking about Blade Runner. But as far as this goes, prequels and sequels and other movies and spinoffs and things, no.
I kind of understand where they want to go. The Blade Runner world, the world which Blade Runner exists,
uh-huh,
is an interesting world.
The Philip K. Dick world?
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's an interesting world. And okay. There's a good mythology there. Mm-hmm. There's a good
science fiction.
A lot of potential there.
Right.
Futurism.
Futurist.
I don't know.
You don't touch the classics.
All right, but this is what I'm thinking. What if you said this isn't a sequel and this isn't a prequel, but it takes place in the same world?
I guess is a sequel or a prequel.
Or is a side story.
Timeline.
But doesn't...
It's all about timeline. If it takes place before this, they will have to sell it as a prequel.
Right.
If it takes place after this and has the same characters, it has to be a sequel. They're never getting Harrison Ford back to play Decker.
What happens if it takes place after but has different characters?
Then it's
like
not a sequel.
Then there's a new lead.
Not
but it
a
just
sequel.
Takes place. But that's what I'm saying. What if,
it's in the same
if they,
universe?
If they went that way,
uh-huh,
that might almost be okay.
That would be okay.
That might be okay.
Uh-huh.
So
is that the plan?
I don't know. but I'm just saying.
You're just trying to justify it now?
I'm just trying to justify it. I'm just trying to figure out how they're going to do this. Because it's a scary proposition, in
my
opinion. It's a scary, scary proposition, in my opinion.
Yes, it is. Yes, right. It is.
One more thing.
Okay.
And then we could take our first break. Red Skull.
Uh-huh. Saw the picture?
I think he looks great.
PO'd.
Why?
It's not a Nazi uniform.
Okay, but,
it's a Hydra uniform.
But this is what I've read.
Okay.
I've read a lot of stuff. Some producer, Joe Johnston even, I think, chimed in at one point in time,
uh-huh,
about the Nazis. And he assured us that they were not glossing over the Nazis. He said they were going to be there. We
uh-huh
were going to see Nazi uniforms in the film. He said that Hydra is going to kind of be acting as like a special branch of the Nazis. You know what I mean?
It's like
the Marines of the Nazis.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Just a way to not slap a swastika on the Red Skull, because you can't. I'm telling you, it's exactly what you're going to see. You cannot sell a Red Skull toy that has a swastika on it. You cannot sell a Red Skull costume. You cannot sell a Red Skull anything when the Red Skull is associated with the swastika. The moment you enter the swastika in there, you can't do anything with the character. Look at Indiana Jones action figures.
Right.
None of them have swastikas on them. None of them.
Look, all I'm saying is I am okay with Hydra being a branch of the Nazis. Ugh. I thought he looked great, though. I mean, really? Like, yeah, I thought he looked great.
The makeup's fine. No one's saying the makeup's not good. No one's saying Hugo Weaving isn't going to be amazing in the part. My problem lies with this is a commercial decision over a content decision.
Okay.
That's all it is. All this is a move to save the licensing and the sellability of products in this movie. That's all this is about. This has nothing whatsoever to do with Hydra's. Did Hydra ever have any association with the Nazis? I don't think so.
I don't know enough about Hydra to answer that question comfortably.
If I remember correctly, wasn't it like Baron von Strucker or something like that was the head of Hydra? That's Baron Zemo, different guy. This would be, I think it's Baron von Strucker or something like. See, punch that in your machine and see if it comes up. Bald guy, monocle. He was the head of Hydra, and he may have been a Nazi at one point. So they're kind of almost taking Red Skull and slotting him into that position so they don't have to stick him in a Nazi uniform. I'm telling you, that's what this is about.
Okay.
Find anything? Okay. Well, whoever it is, whoever the head of Hydra was in the comics, not to be confused with AIM. Hydra guys had the red eyes and the green uniforms.
That's correct.
Right? AIM guys had the yellow outfit with that weird sort of 80s looking.
Baron Wolfgang von Strucker.
Uh-huh.
With the support of the Nazi Red Skull. Hydra's changing, blah, blah, blah.
There it is. So that's kind of what they're doing. They're kind of right, either maybe von Strucker might be in the flick, but it seems more likely to me they wrote him off, slapped Red Skull into that position so they don't have to put a swastika on him. So they can sell Red Skull toys, action figures, children's soap,
et cetera.
The flamethrower, whatever you like.
All right.
And with that, let's take our first break. On Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 222, Turn on the Dark. Attention Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKev'sGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
French, but you're an asshole.
Hey, this is Alan Rupp from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Call me sir, goddammit.
And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Whoa. Oh, shit.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 222, Turn on the Dark.
Good job.
Nice.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
Okay, DVDs this week.
Uh-huh.
There's a handful.
Okay.
How about The Walking Dead, season one?
Now, I thought that was coming out in April.
Nope. 3/8/2011.
Wow.
Came out this week.
I gotta go to the store.
Also out this week, Jackass 3D.
Now, wait, Walking Dead, before we go too far, that's the entire first series?
That is the season one.
Okay,
yeah.
And it's available on
Blu-ray
and regular?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Jackass 3D, if you're into that out this week.
Is anyone? I mean, that's just...
Actually, I hear it's really funny. I like the first two. I'll watch this. Yeah. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to buy the DVD. I'll wait for Netflix or something. But
yeah, or
I'll
you'll watch steal it, criminal.
You know, hey, you know, torrent, whatever.
Torrent.
You got to do what you got to do.
Really? Over Jackass? It just seems so passe to me at this point. You know, again, it just seems like, you know, you were like, it's I got to take me back to Liefeld's. This is like Jackass. I gotta take me back to the early 90s when Jackass was a thing.
It still does very well, sir. And it's funny.
I heard Beavis and Butthead is coming back.
Beavis and Butthead is coming back.
Unbelievable.
Beavis and Butthead is coming. All new episodes.
All irrelevant content at this point. I mean,
well, it's not irrelevant if they're focusing on current things. Beavis and Butthead commenting
what,
on
videos?
No, I don't think it's going to be videos. I think it's going to be pop culture in general.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It could totally, those two characters commenting on current events and current things going on in pop culture absolutely could work. Absolutely.
No, I can't see it. I'm sorry.
I think it absolutely could work.
It's just over.
Out on Blu-ray this week, Excalibur. Yeah. Just in case you want it.
Yeah. No, who doesn't want Excalibur?
I have it on regular.
That is.
That doesn't qualify for an upgrade for me.
But that has special effects, sir.
I don't think
it. And a huge cast. Everybody is in that
Everybody
movie.
Is in that movie.
Including Academy Award winner Helen Mirren.
Oh, okay.
And Patrick Stewart.
Sure.
And Nigel Terry, who everybody's like, what? And what's his name? Liam Neeson is also in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's no one's going to say it's not an all-star cast.
It's an all-star cast, and it is a cheesy-ass
Gabriel
movie.
Byrne.
Gabriel
Byrne. Yeah, there's a lot of people in that movie.
It's a cheesy-ass movie, though. I mean, it's really, it's awful and good. It's very, very strange. But, yeah, I mean, definitely that would qualify for Blu-ray, I would say.
Also out on Blu-ray this week, if you don't have it yet, Exit Through the Gift Shop. It's out on Blu-ray this week.
Oh, I got to check that one. You keep telling me I got to check that out.
It was really good. Uh-huh. It was really good.
Didn't win the Academy Award, though, did it?
No, Inside Job did, and that's also out on DVD.
Oh, so. I actually want to see that one. Narrated by Matt Damon.
Yes, that's out this week if you want to pick that up.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it on the DVD front.
Okay.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics going to be a real short segment tonight.
Not a whole lot, right?
Not in regular comics. In fact,
Batman Inc.
Yeah, that's really three. That's really the only one that I feel like I need to mention is Batman Incorporated number 3, of course by Grant Morrison. And this one,
it feels like it's been a really long time since issue 2. It's been like 6 or 7 weeks since issue 2.
Has it really been that long?
It feels that long. Maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like that came out in January.
I think you're wrong because I don't think it's been that long, but I'm not going to, you know.
Okay.
I'm not going to contradict you, but.
Right.
Of course, as we have spoken about, this is sort of the League of Other Country Batmans.
Right.
And so we're going to meet a couple more of them in this one as well. So, so check that out. That's really the only regular comic. I mean, there's other things, but nothing that really was outstanding. Doom Patrol number 20 also came out. It's a great book, but it's so, I mean, because it's not a big title, it's just so on life support. I'm enjoying each issue because I just feel like it could be the last issue. You know, I'm just waiting here. It's been canceled and they're not going to allow them to wrap up the story or whatever, because that's always what happens with this book, but... Well, not always, but enough times that you kind of get jaded after a while.
Right, right.
Did you ever check that one out, OG, Doom Patrol?
No, I'm still waiting for...
Christmas.
Yeah, something. I know.
The real excitement this week, of course, comes in the trade section of comics, which includes Star Wars Omnibus At War With the Empire, Volume 1. Now... We've talked about these omnibuses before. They're really, really terrific. This one's going to run you about $25, but it contains, OG, if you can possibly imagine, it contains over 400 pages of Star Wars art and storytelling.
Okay.
Isn't that pretty incredible?
That's pretty awesome.
Now, let me tell you what it reprints so that you have a vague notion. And this is what I'm confused about. You ready for this?
Sure.
This volume collects Star Wars Empire 1 through 6, number 9, partial, which means only part of number 9. And then 10, 11, 13, 14, 20, 23, 19, 22, 24, 25, and 31 in that order.
Okay.
So for some reason, 7, 8, part of 9, 12, 15 through 19, not 19, rather, 15 through 18, and then somehow the story in number 19 must take place between 21 and 22 chronologically. It's the only reason I can imagine they moved it. And then issue 23 and then issues 26 through 30 are somehow excluded from this book.
That's really weird.
So whether this is a canon issue, which it could be, you know what I mean? It
right.
could be something that that they wrote that they have simply decided is not canon and therefore they eliminated it from this omnibus, or for whatever reason it doesn't flow with the rest of the story in the omnibus. For whatever reason, that's what you get.
Okay.
So it's from Dark Horse, if we didn't mention that before. And this it really is the beginnings of the rebellion. The early days of the Rebel Alliance and the beginning of the war with the Empire. So there is a lot of stuff. You know, this is one of those eras we know nothing about short of Force Unleashed. That takes
right.
place in the same sort of period. So check that out. Star Wars Omnibus at War with the Empire, Volume 1. I'm really looking forward to reading that because I didn't read any of that Empire stuff. So, but I'm always going to wonder about the issues that I missed because somehow the omnibus doesn't repeat them all
fondly.
I want an answer about that. I don't feel that we've been provided a proper answer. Also in trades this week. Now we were just talking about Blade Runner and sequels and prequels and things.
Of course
in
we were.
The film era, but the original source material, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, has been faithfully reproduced in a monthly comic book for quite some time by Boom Studios. And they have in turn then collected some of those issues into a number of hardcovers. And I hold in my hand, sir, the latest one of these hardcovers. It's hardcover volume 4.
Nice. I didn't realize they were that far along so far. Jeez.
In fact, sir, I think the final issue may have just been solicited in previews this month, which I think is 24.
Okay.
I think there's going to be 24. They do have a spin-off series called Dust to Dust, I think it's called.
Yes.
Anyway, this hardcover, volume 4, collects issues 13 through 16 of the Eisner Award-nominated comic book series, named one of the best comics and graphic novels by the Village Voice. And, you know, that's not some weak stuff, sir. Going to run you $24.99. Absolutely terrific. These are all going to be great to actually read through. I haven't read a single issue. This is based, of course, on the original Philip K. Dick novel, where Blade Runner is based on this also, but not a direct translation, if you will.
Right.
So I'm really excited to read this. I'm waiting for all of the volumes to come out so that I can read them in order from beginning to end, all 24 issues. So I'm very excited because this means we're getting closer. Two more of these, sir, and I think that'll do it.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that. So check that out. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, Volume 4.
Now, let me get an update. That's all you had, yeah, for this week?
Yes, sir.
Let me get an update from you. Did you look into that Oz book and whether or not that was a screw up? We know it was a screw
up. We know it was a screw up.
Just yours, because your retailer
right.
had the same issue with multiple copies.
Right. I do not have an answer.
So we don't know if they're going to reprint it.
I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea. What I'm hoping is that in one of the upcoming trades that they'll reprint it in the trade. So we can still get the information, the interviews, and so on and so forth, rather than relying on that awful primer at least the version I got, right. That was awful. I hadn't read anything or found anything that the printing on it had been screwed up, so I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
All right. So then in my update, I was able to read an elegy for Amelia Johnson.
Now this is from Archaia Studios.
That's right.
And we've talked about Archaia on a bunch of occasions. Well, a ton of occasions if you count the times we've talked about Mouse Guard.
Right.
But we've talked about them lately because we want to make sure we're shining enough light on them for you to understand and recognize the fact that this is, without question, these are the guys who are producing the comic books that are not necessarily superhero-related type of comic books. They're doing a lot of different types of material, but in the illustrated narrative format.
Correct.
Right. So, and you read an elegy for Amelia Johnson, most of it.
I did.
Uh-huh.
It's a great read.
All right.
It's a great read. I mean, it's clearly not for your hack and slash spandex reading
crowd.
I mean, if that's your thing,
right,
this isn't your thing. But if you're looking for just a good read, you know, that happens to be illustrated,
uh-huh,
as well, a la comics and graphic novels.
Right.
It's good, man. I mean, it's a good kind of funny, dramatic, touching kind of story. It is. I mean, it's what it is. It's, you know, it's not
like
even Strangers in Paradise, right? Who I would say is not for your spandex.
Right.
There was still like action and shooting and like people getting killed and blood and swords. You know what,
right,
I mean? Like there. This?
None of that. Okay. Well, there you go.
But I recommend it. I absolutely recommend it. I mean, if you're into reading indie books, if you like things like Road to Perdition, Ghost Town.
Blankets.
Blankets. If you're
what
into
was that other
that
one? There was another
stuff,
one, too, that we used to talk about all the time. Oh, no, that was more had a sci-fi edge. I think Blankets.
Are you talking about the robot one?
Yeah, the robot
that
one.
I can't think of the
I
name
can't
of
remember
it.
The name of it.
We talk about that a lot, but even that's kind of at least.
A Stylish Vittles. Do you remember those that we talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those type of books.
Yeah, right. So if you're into that kind of, if you're into those kinds of stories, uh-huh, which is, those are all excellent reads.
Right.
And I would recommend them to anybody.
Right.
I absolutely think that An Elegy for Amelia Johnson is something you want to check out. It's 116 pages. You can read it in like an hour.
A shit.
Yeah. You know, like a really good, a couple burritos,
now that
some
comes
ice
out.
Cream.
Oh.
And like.
I'm usually praying when after I've eaten those things.
And then go to Melting Pot.
Oh.
A lot of fondue.
Oh, yeah?
Just build it all up in there, bind everything together.
I went there with your wife recently. Did she have some issues?
And then hunker down. No, I heard some other people had some issues,
though. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who had some issues?
So I heard some of the more popular folk.
Oh, yeah?
Famous folk that were there.
Uh-huh.
Made some comments on Twitter about having some binding issues.
Oh, my.
So.
Well, we shan't be going back there, then.
So, well, look, I mean, you eat 70 pounds of oil and cheese.
Hey, listen, you want to talk about food, OG, you can go right over to Big Kev Eats Stuff when it's up and running.
Sure.
And you'll be able to talk about those things over there. Eventually, it's going to happen. You can't deny it, sir. Anyway, check out Elegy for Amelia Johnson, and you can check that over at archaia.com. How are we spelling Archaia, OG?
A-R-C-H-A-I-A. A-R-C-H-A-I-A.
There you go. .com, and you can check out this book and other books that they publish, that are really a lot of fun, a lot of offbeat reading stuff, so check that out over there.
Geek Stuff product reviews.
We got two things
we want to talk about here. The first one actually is really a great pleasure for us to actually bring these products to you. We don't often get a jump on Mattel products. We're very happy to get them. And you know, you've heard us talk about all manner of Mattel action figures. We've talked about these 6-inch DC Universe Classics. We've talked about the animated series, which is coming to an end this year. What's that one called? JLU Unlimited?
Yes.
that's finally coming to an end. They have some great characters coming out. So we're going to be talking about those. We talked about Batman Brave and Bold. We talked about the WWE, which is a huge line for them as well. And the other lines as well. Well, we got a jump. We got Green. Well, this is the DC Universe Classics, right?
Right. Green Lantern Classics Wave 2. Which is set to release in April, I believe.
Right.
So we got almost a month on this. Yeah. Right? Or three weeks on this.
Exactly. We have a jump on these. So we want to make sure that we are letting you know what the deal is with these, why you'll want them, why they're cool. And they are really cool. Now, how can I assure you that they're really cool? Here's how it works, OG. I am not a Green Lantern fan. Not that I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of Green Lantern. I don't read Green Lantern. And primarily it's because it's one of those books. I've said this 100 times before. It's one of those books I should have started reading when I was 9 years old.
Right.
And I didn't. And now I feel like there's so much history. I feel like I probably couldn't effectively be a Green Lantern fan. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Does it or does it?
No, no, it does. Okay. I understand.
So that said, these characters, these designs have always been very intriguing to me. And now, of course, they have this whole Lantern, darkest night, blackest day, darkest night, whatever the lightest morning, whatever the crossover thing that's happening is. We have Red Lanterns and Blue Lanterns and Violet Lanterns, Yellow Lanterns, Black Lanterns, White Lanterns. There's all sorts of Lanterns. And I have to say, I really dig what they've been doing with these characters lately. Okay, let's get into the figures. 6-inch figures. How many characters are there normally in one of these lines, OG?
I think six.
I say six.
Six is regular.
Right?
This does not have six.
This has not only does it not have six, sir. It has
10, technically?
Nine.
If you include the Builda, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Very good.
Include the Builda, 10.
10 characters in the line.
That's right.
10 characters in the line. That's unheard of.
Right.
Now, why is it that they're able to do 10 characters in the line? We're going to get to that in a minute. Let's talk about some of them, OG. Green Lantern Saddam Yat is in here. He looks to be sort of humanish. I don't know a lot about the character. Star Sapphire, Carol Ferris, who is, I think she is a, isn't she like a bad guy in the Lantern universe? I think she is.
Sure.
I think she is. And then we get into characters that OG and I don't really know a lot about, but that doesn't make them any less cool.
But I know we have Lantern fans out there that are huge.
I know,
Lantern
who are going to be really salivating over these.
Really? Two I can think of off the top of my head.
And don't call us up going, yeah, well, I'm figures. You ain't getting one, so just you can forget it. The first one is the Green Lantern Gahu. Now, Gahu. I say Gahu. I know someone's going to call me up and be like, it's G-U, or whatever it is.
G-apostrophe-H-U.
Yes, and I don't know whether this is a male or female character. She, he, it looks insectoid in nature, but is definitely a Green Lantern. Lots of points of articulation on all of these. Superior sculpting by the Four Horsemen.
Yes.
Friends of this program.
Of course.
And those are, now let's say it like it is, OG. Those are your single figures.
That's right.
Now we're entering the realm, OG, of multiple characters. And we're going to take the Red Lantern Skallox, S-K-A-L-L-O-X, and Nightlick, N-I-T-E-L-I-K.
Right.
Okay. What they've done is, in a brilliant maneuver, most of the Green Lanterns look this, you know, most of the Green Lanterns who share sort of a generic, what do you call it? Bipedal body, 2 feet, 2 arms, kind of a humanesque body.
Right.
But some sort of different head or other accoutrement.
Okay.
So here you are in the pack, you get the one sort of generic body, and then a separate head for Skallox and a separate head for Nightlick. And, you know, you get all the paraphernalia that goes with them. One of them has a big, giant blue head with all sorts of things hanging off him. And the other one looks like a dead cow head.
Yeah, the skull Dude, that's a cool looking figure.
It
if
is.
I was just collecting figures,
uh-huh.
that would be a definite get for me.
Yeah, and it's really great because you get both in the package. Now, we can confirm that this figure, along with the next one we're going to talk about, are both packaged two different ways.
Right.
So you get the first version, you get Skalix packaged with the Nightlick head, you know, in there also, but not on the body. Or the reverse, you get the Nightlick head on the body with the Skalix head and so forth in the package so you can swap. Well, this is great for collectors because, you know, if you want one character and not the other, you're set. If you want both characters, you're going to have to pick them both up. But, you know, somehow I think it's a good choice thing they've done here. Don't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think anybody will have a problem picking them both up.
I don't think so.
I think if you want them, you want them, and you know you want them.
Right, and especially let's say you really like Skalix, but you hate Nightlick. Well, you got Skalix. There he is. That's how they're able to do him. Or Nightlick, you know, same thing. Let's move on to the next two. You get green. Now, these are both Green Lanterns. You get Naut Kyloi. It's Naut space Kei Kyloi.
Yeah.
Okay. Space Loi. And Medfil.
Yeah.
Is the other one.
Kind of tree head. I'm giving him a Star Wars name.
I think
tree head.
Medfil looks. He looks like. He does sort of look like broccoli. He's got one eye, like a brown stalk of broccoli with a green top, and then the other one, which we think is Naut Kyloi, because
right.
that kind of somehow reminds me of like koi fish somehow.
Yeah, you know what it looks like? It's like what if you took Mr. Freeze's helmet and used it as a fishbowl?
That's kind of what it is. It looks like a fish head inside a Mr. Freeze helmet. And again, you swap, I guess, the head at least, maybe the feet also, I'm not sure. But you swap out the head, you get two different characters.
Correct.
Now you've left the realm of two characters. We're going into the pack that contains three characters, which makes our count wrong.
11.
Our count is actually 11 characters
right.
in this assortment. In this pack, you get Green Lantern Bedog, B'DG.
Right, which is odd because none of these are dogs.
Right. He actually looks like a squirrel.
He looks like a squirrel.
And he's tiny.
Right,
like he is really tiny. He's like 2.5 to 2.5 inches, I'd say tops. He might be pushing 3 inches.
Yeah, he's tiny.
Tiny. Also in the same pack, you also get Red Lantern Dex Star.
Right, which
Dex-Star.
Which kind of sounds like it should be a hip-hop artist.
Yes, there you go. Dex Star is a Red Lantern, and he is a blue cat.
Right.
Who is breathing some sort of fire.
Kind of almost looks like the Cheshire Cat a little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
I don't know. He looks pretty fierce. He is a cat, nonetheless.
Yeah.
These are wacky. These are just wacky. And then third, you get the Sinestro Corps or Yellow Lantern Despotelis.
Despotelis is what
right.
I'm saying.
Despotelis.
We're both probably wrong.
I know, because they all sound like they should be something.
The S is probably silent. It's probably like Despotelis. Or...
Right. And he's actually non-articulated little yellow. He also looks like a little tree, doesn't he?
Yeah, kind of.
He looks like a yellow little energy clear plastic tree. But he's actually a character. So articulation
tree,
or not.
Half Bomar Monk.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. You actually are getting three different characters in the pack.
Right.
Well, of course, the all three of the characters... added up together, I don't think would equal 6 inches.
Probably. Well, maybe.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you. Bedog and Dexstar, I mean,
they
may
might
be pushing,
6 inches together.
Maybe pushing 3 inches apiece. And the other guy's got to be like 2.5.
That's what I'm saying. So that's like 8.5 right there.
Yeah.
That's like a figure and change.
That's amazing. I'm amazed that they put this out. Amazed. And I actually have no idea who Bedog is, but I want the Bedog figure. I have no idea who it is. All right, let's move on because
really
we have
sound like a bunch of rappers.
I know.
Bedog and Death Star. I mean,
we have the final character in the set of 11. 11. That's a correction from earlier, and that is the Collect and Connect figure. So this is your like they've been doing for what 1,000 years. Each character that we mentioned, or each package, as we mentioned earlier, six different packages. Each one comes with a piece of steel, or Stell.
Right.
Who is a giant robotic Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Which...
I'm trying to describe him, and I can't really figure out a way to... It kind of looked like RoboCop, but with teeth.
He kind of looks like a Green Lantern RoboCop. That's pretty good. Right? Does he come from like a Transformer mechanical planet?
I have no... Dude, you're asking a total nod.
Where the robots come alive? I'll tell you one thing.
If Green is not followed by Arrow, I don't know.
Can I tell you one thing about him?
Sure.
He's huge.
He is ginormous.
He is, because his torso comes with Bedog and Dexstar, and it is humongous. What a great connect and collect figure. These Green Lantern guys have got to be beside themselves with all of this stuff
coming
out.
They probably feel like for years they've been getting the shaft. And like ever since Blackest Night started,
right.
it's been like you when Clone Wars started.
Exactly.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, I'm screwed.
Like. I'm broke. That's what it's been like.
Well, and what's great is this is now the second Green Lantern specific line to come out from Mattel.
Right.
Not to mention at least five waves of Green Lantern Blackest Night figures that have come out from DC Direct.
Some of these figures are so good that if this were the olden days where I was just buying figures based solely on how they looked,
yeah,
I'd have to have like half this set.
I know, because they're really...
Thank God I'm not in that phase of my toy life any longer.
I know. These are really well done. Like we said, sculpting by the Four Horsemen. You don't get better sculpting than that on these figures.
No.
And this is just proving it here.
Absolutely.
I mean, this line right here, they sculpted the Squirrel Green Lantern, Bedog. I mean, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible stuff. Now, you know, I don't know what the suggested retail on these. They got to be about $15-16 at this point, I'm guessing.
Probably in that ballpark.
At least. And they're well worth it. You're a Green Lantern fan. You're definitely going to want to pick these up. You may be able to go over to... Can you go to Mattel.com to check these out? I think you can. I'm going to say go to Mattel.com and check these out. And these are coming out when, OG? When are they officially releasing?
I don't have an official day. You know, figures are right. Figures are kind of weird, but
April-ish.
From what I can see, April 2011 is the solicitation day.
Hey, can I just read this?
I'm stuck on Bedog. Sorry.
I can't even... can I just read this off the back? I have the Bedog package on the biography section. I just want to read the flavor text really quick. Then we'll get into roommates really fast. There are 7 different armies of power ring wearing soldiers, each drawing strength from a different color in the emotional spectrum. Despite his quote funny animal end quote appearance, Bedog has proven his courage repeatedly. Dexstar was an ordinary house cat on planet Earth whose animalistic rage attracted a red power ring. This was somebody's house cat who a red power ring, and it's on his tail, by the way.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you shake out the cat food.
Yeah.
You put it in the bowl. You accidentally scoop up the red ring.
Dexstar is just someone's house cat, and he's blue.
Look, you got to do what you got to do.
And then Despotellus is an intelligent virus that reduces entire worlds to rotting graveyards. So there you go. These are 3 interesting, intriguing characters. You get them all in one pack. It's incredible. So check those out. This is Green Lantern, DC Universe Classics, Green Lantern Wave 2. Check those out. Absolutely fantastic. OG, what do you got over there that we're giving away this week?
Roommates.
Yes.
Whew. I'm sorry. I'm still winded from Bedog and Dexstar.
Bedog.
Yes, roommates. These are peel and stick wall decals for your house. Now, we didn't talk about these at all on the podcast last week.
No,
we
talked
about these a little on the SiriusXM experience.
Right.
And this is a product that is good for you, your kids.
Friends with kids.
A collector.
Collectors.
Clearly, if you're a collector.
Right.
Like us. The full scale wall scenes,
right?
The Tron.
Now, yeah, let's
for
talk.
Example.
Let's talk about the brand new Studio A 2.0.
Right.
Going to feature Walmate's Star Wars mural, 9 feet tall, 15 feet wide.
Correct.
Of the original poster. It's actually the half sheet, the poster. And you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, check out the photo gallery for this episode, and you can see what we're talking about over there. They also have a huge Batman one that looks very reminiscent of the artwork of Jim Lee, although I cannot confirm that it is Jim Lee's art or not. I can confirm it is wicked cool, though. That much I can confirm. And they have other large scale ones as well. They have the bridge of the original Enterprise.
Right.
Is one that they have. They have, and they have a giant Tron one. Looks like the Tron World mural in there as well. Really, really terrific stuff from Roommates. And then they go down in size. Then you go down to like the wall panel size. Might be about, you know, 2 feet wide and... 6 feet tall or something that. Then you go down another size and you get giant sort of peel and stick decals, which I believe are reusable. Didn't we establish that?
Yes, these ones are reusable. The peel and sticks are reusable.
Right. The wall mural ones are not, though.
Those are pretty much
permanent. But they won't harm your wall. So you don't have to feel like, I can't do this because it'll harm my wall. Will not harm your wall. And that's very important to stress because, you know, if you're going to make that kind of commitment, you want to know what you're getting in for. That's what you're getting in for there. That said, then, like we said, giant wall decals in the giant section, if you will. This includes things like it's got to be almost a 3.5 to 4 foot bat symbol.
Right.
There's a Tron, a Sam on a light cycle that's about the same size. Very giant. Sort of graphics for you to, you know, you place these in your collect room or your man cave or your living room or whatever it is that...
Wherever it is you want to put it.
Exactly. Wherever you're decorating and you need these sorts of things. And then you go down to the smallest level that they have, which are individual pieces. They vary in size, several inches by several inches. And you get a variety of different ones in these packs. Now, that said, they have a variety, again, of licenses, including classic Star Trek, Marvel superheroes, Tron, Star Wars the Clone Wars, and on. They have tons of these things, tons of these licenses. We mentioned Tron, right? We mentioned DC heroes, Batman in particular. Absolutely terrific stuff. I think they have some coming out. They may have some coming out for the new Green Lantern movie, although I'm not entirely sure about that.
Right.
But in any event, tonight, OG, we want to give a set of these away. How are we doing that?
All right. So we're going to give these away on the GVM line.
Now, let's be specific. We have a set of the Marvel Heroes.
Correct.
The small ones, which includes how many? I mean, there's at least, a dozen or so different decals in there, correct?
That is,
Different characters. Hulk, Spider-Man, looks like the FF.
I'm trying to see if it says 26 plus decals.
There you go.
Accents.
All different Marvel characters and accents in the set. We're going to give that away. I'm sorry, OG, I interrupted you. What did you want to do with this one?
I wanted to give away on the GVM line.
Uh-huh.
You're going to give a call to 425-920-6050, and you're going to tell us where you would put these in your house or office or wherever.
There you go.
That's and we will pick somebody, and we will likely play your message on the show.
On Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
And you will be the winner. Let's set a date for this. How about that? Let's see now. Today's recording day is the 9th. So how about we say you have until the 30th of this month?
Oh, that's a long
time. That's 3 weeks. It's plenty of time.
That's too long. Why don't we make it 2 weeks?
2 weeks. The 23rd.
There you go.
By 5 p.m. Eastern.
Uh-huh.
The 23rd. You have to call and leave a voicemail, and we will pick a winner that week.
And what's the criteria? Did we mention what the criteria was?
Yeah, you have to tell us where in your house or office or wherever you would put these.
What room and why we should give them to you.
And then we will pick a winner.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go. Simple. And with that, we'll take our final break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 222, Turn on the Dark.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey, on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Ooh, the lolly.
Yes. All shows are Saturday night at midnight. Uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think. And some rice, maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, this is Ridley Scott. I'm director of The Blade Runner.
More human than human is our motto.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's not an easy thing to meet your maker.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 222, Turn on the Dark.
Uh-huh. OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast?
We talked about our first full picture of the Red Skull from the upcoming Captain America movie. We talked a little bit about Blade Runner sequel prequel things. We also talked tonight about Tron Uprising, the animated series trailer. Looks awesome. Definitely going to want to check that out. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, February 2012, and Lord of the Rings Blu-ray extended editions coming soon.
We also mentioned DC's next crossover event, Flashpoint, kicking off in the DC universe. We don't really know what all that means yet, but we will keep an eye on it for you.
We also talked a little bit about, of course, the namesake of this episode, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark and the Spidey Project. Don't forget, you can check out thespideyproject.blogspot.com for some information on that. Maybe they'll add another show and you'll be able to go.
Maybe.
Likely not.
Likely not.
In segment two of tonight's show, we talked about a couple of DVDs that came out. Maybe you want to check them out. Inside Job, out on regular DVD and Blu-ray. The Walking Dead, same deal. Regular DVD and Blu-ray.
Series 1.
Right, Series 1, Season 1. Mm-hmm. Also out on Blu-ray this week, Excalibur, Exit Through the Gift Shop, Jackass 3D. Check all of those things out, perhaps, if you're interested.
In comics this week, we only mentioned really one and a half regular comics. It was Batman Incorporated number 3 by Grant Morrison, and the half was Doom Patrol number 20. I feel the book's on life support. Not because it's bad, but because I think DC just doesn't give a crap about it. The big excitement was in trades with Star Wars Omnibus at War with the Empire Volume 1 from Dark Horse. And from Boom Studios, it's Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, Volume 4, which collects the single issues 13 through 16 of the terrific, terrific series.
Of course, we're also recommending that you go out and check out our Kaya Studios. You pick up An Elegy for Amelia Johnson. I'm highly recommending it. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
In product tonight,
We talked about Mattel's DC Universe Classics Green Lantern Wave 2, which we're very happy that we got a chance to peek at and play with before they hit at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. 11 characters in the line, 11, including two two packs with two characters and one pack with three characters, as well as the Killer Collect and Connect figure of Stell or Steel, however it's pronounced. An absolutely terrific line, banging sculpting, great character selection, lots of opportunities for collectors here. Really focusing on the current DC storyline. That's something you gotta love as well. Absolutely great stuff coming from Mattel's DC 6-inch line. I hope it continues for a long time. I don't know what the story is with regards to it continuing. I hope it goes on. I hope they at least finish my Metal Men collection and my Doom Patrol collection.
Right.
So I'll be very upset if they don't.
And of course, also this week, our contest of the week and a product that you don't want to miss, Roommates.
Right.
Decals for your home, murals for your home. Of course, we announced the contest this week. Give us a call, 425-920-6050. Leave us a voicemail with what room in your house or office you would place these, why you deserve them. And we're going to be giving away a set of the Marvel Heroes 26-plus decals for one lucky listener. Of course, don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, some Studio V, hopefully some Studio V coming up in the future. Maybe we'll even get some of these Green Lantern pieces on there if we can.
Hey, you didn't give out the website for Roommates, sir. I'm just pointing it out. It's actually RoommatesPeelAndStick.com, all spelled out. RoommatesPeelAndStick.com. And you can check out all of Roommates' great products, all the ones we've been talking about. You're going to be able to check out some of them on Studio V's in the future as well, as we're going to be featuring some of those products in Studio V.
Right. And I think that's it.
That's it, OG. And with that, I will end this podcast, as I end all podcasts, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.